When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Inside the 9 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York, we're going to talk about sports. That's what I like to do. I mean, obviously, we can veer off and add some other things, but we've got plenty of calls, plenty of topics, talking about Hard Knocks, talking about the New York Giants, looked at their schedule. We're trying to figure out what version of Daniel Jones we're going to see post-ACL surgery, a neck issue. But now he's got the best receivers he's ever had and probably the best offensive line he's had. And I think they're going to try and keep him protected. Third year in the offense. I'm rooting for Daniel Jones. It's just hard for me to predict him to have a Pro Bowl year coming off an ACL. There's just a lot unknown. I think we see Drew Lock. And I think looking at the schedule now that I actually just laid eyes on it, I'm like, they have a gauntlet. Week 3 through 8, that's going to decide the season, whether you're tanking or whether you're fighting for that wild card spot. 888-808-1019. We've also spoken a little bit about Summer League, as in about, I think, 20 minutes or so, Bronny James will be on ESPN playing for the Lakers, and there's been a lot of conversation about him not belonging and what he is or what he isn't, and I'm rooting for the kid too. I feel like he's in the deep end. He can't swim. He got thrown into the pool, and now he's getting exposed, and he's becoming a meme. And it's hard playing basketball at that level is tough, but it's not that tough for Tyler Kolek. And we started talking Knicks a little bit, and what are the Knicks going to do at the center position? And I did plant a little bit of a seed for the Mets fans to call and talk about Pete Alonso. Because I said something yesterday about seeing him in Texas and how he fit in dressed up like a cowboy and how he reminded me, you know, even though he's been in New York, he's from Florida, he's a country boy. And WFAN put out a post that said, you know, Keith McPherson's quote, and I said he might have an itch to, you know, return to the South, or maybe it was return to Texas or go to Texas, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. I appreciate the post and the interaction and people being up in arms. The quote was, this guy probably has a little bit of an itch to get out of New York. And I know PETA said up and down, I want to be a Met. I don't want to get traded. I want to be here. What else would you have him say? What else do you think Scott Boras, the same way Juan Soto is prepared by Scott Boras? Scott Boras is definitely in his ear and his camp is on. Hey, don't lean into it. These fans are dragging you. Don't lean into it. You're the face of the Mets. You want to be a Met. You have the richest owner in the sport. He can pay you more than anybody else. Don't lean into it. But why do you go get Scott Boras? You go get Scott Boras in case the new president of baseball operations isn't trying to give you that money. And maybe the Houston Astros are, maybe the Texas Rangers are. We'll see. Let's get back to the Pete Alonso conversation. Chris is in Monmouth County. What's up, Chris? You're on The Fan.
Yo, Keith. Thanks for taking the call, as always.
Thanks for making it. What's up, man?
Quick trivia question for you. You mentioned EA Sports before, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does the EA stand for?
The A is arts.
Correct.
I'm not going to Google it. I know it's...
Come on, Keith. You got this, man.
It's something arts.
What is video games? What is a movie? It's all what?
Entertainment?
Correct.
Entertainment arts.
Entertainment arts, baby. That's it, you know?
I haven't played video games in a long time, man. It's been a while.
Neither have I. My daughter just got an Xbox, though. Forget about it. $300.
Yeah, when my kid starts gaming, I'm back in there in like 4 years. Electronic arts?
TV, but the
Wait, so Ronnie just looked it up and said it's not entertainment.
Oh, I was wrong, Keith. In front of all of America in New York, I'm wrong. I'll take it, though. I can take the hit. Keith, I'm a man. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I was wrong. Hey, Bronx, Manhattan, Queens, Staten Island, getting somewhere, Manhattan, I'm wrong. I apologize. Chris from Monmouth is wrong. Anyway, you know, Real quick on Alonzo, I got to tell you, not you, but there's the narrative that's being pushed on him this year is it's unfair. He's had a bad year, no doubt about it. I mean, this was the guy for the Mets. They were comparing him to Aaron Judge year before, the year after. Well, who's better, Judge or Alonzo? Oh, look at Alonzo. He's a better power hitter. He's a more
right
home run.
Right here at WFAN Afternoon, Evan grew a full-on beard demanding.
Without a doubt.
Demanding that Pete Alonzo be signed before the season.
And I'll tell you this. I'm going to make 2 points. The Alonzo point, and I'm going to go to Yankees for a minute, and then I'll let you go. Alonzo is having a bad year. He wants to be a Met. You have a guy who's wants to play baseball and wants to have fun and could do well. He's definitely like stressed out this year. I don't think he's going to be on the Mets next year. I think it's going to be sad. I think the Mets fan is going to be sad when this guy goes, because I think media has pushed this guy almost out the door. And with the Yankees, Keith, I'm going to tell you right now, the Yankees will make the ALDS. I'm telling you right now.
The ALDS Keith, or CS?
The championship series, Keith. Okay. Keith, you got me now, man. I can't call back for a week.
Thanks for the call, Chris. EA Sports, it's in the game. Electronic Arts. That makes more sense. Anyway, with Pete Alonso, he's getting a bad rap. He's getting dragged through the mud because he's hitting 240. I don't know how many times people have tweeted at me. He's hitting 240. I thought you guys don't care about batting average. It's just crazy how people build you up to break you down. It's crazy how they love you, then they hate you, then they love you again. And so many people were saying, listen, Steve Cohen's got all this money. He should extend Pete. Mr. Met himself, my Mets Bible, host of the Rico Bronya, our fearless leader, Evan Roberts, grew out a beard and had to just chop it Memorial Day weekend. It's not happening. I look at it like this. It's playing into your hands. This guy is on a team now where he doesn't have to carry. This guy is on a team now where he's not the only source of offense, power. There are other guys that can raise the apple. Like, this guy is looking around the clubhouse in the lineup. There's a, oh my God, Candelita pop star in there. There's young energy with Francisco Alvarez and Mark Vientos and Christian Scott. There's different faces in there, like Luis Severino and Harrison Bader and Ben Gamel from the Yankees. And now all of a sudden, Pete Alonso has been here for the last 5-6 years and all these different iterations of the Mets, seeing all these different guys get paid. He wants his payday. And I still think he'll get it from the Mets. I think that he has a second half in front of him where he can shut everybody up. And there's a world where he powers the Mets to the postseason, has a big postseason moment, and he's your guy. He's the face of your franchise. I don't think he's more valuable to anyone else. 888-808-1019. So, I mean, quote cards or whatever, and our write-ups on WFAN or whatever, but I've been pretty clear on Pete Alonso. I've been on this side from last year, offseason, into this year. I don't think that they're trading Pete Alonso. I also don't think Pete Alonso is going to come out. People talk about Pete Alonso getting paid $300 million. Where are you guys getting those numbers? Where and what major leagues of baseball, like, He's not breaking the bank because he signed with Scott Boras. He might get a 3-year deal. And guess who can give him the higher AAV in a 3-year short-term deal and not think twice about it? Steve Cohen. So we'll see. Jack is in Belmore. What's up, Jack? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How's it going, man?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Of course. So I've been listening the last 2 days about this Pete Alonso stuff, and I'm a Yankee fan. This is coming from a Yankee fan. And instantly, from my mind, I thought about the Mark DeSera contract, where it was 8 years, $180 million. Obviously, they're a little bit of a different player. He was a switch hitter, gold glover. Pete Alonso has his problems on the field, and he's just a righty power bat, low batting average, even though batting average doesn't matter anymore. And then you look at Matt Olson contracts and Freddie Freeman. Do you think that it's more realistic for Steve Cohen to give a 3 years on this end, or you think that he's going to end up getting around the same with 7 years, $180 million, 8 years, $180 million?
I don't know. So, okay, follow me here. People are looking at Pete and they're saying he's washed, he's cooked, He'll be 30 at the end of this year.
That's absolutely wrong.
I think that's wrong too. And I think that power bat plays. I think he could be a DH. I think he could play 7 more years, 8 more years. But like, they don't have to sign him for 7-8 years. And when you look at the contracts that Boris is getting done for his clients, last year they're these 2-3 year deals with options. And I think that Pete will go test the market with Scott Boris, and nobody out there is going to give him a 7-8 year deal. Not one that he's going to want, not with the AAV he's going to want. And then when he comes back to Steve Cohen, Steve Cohen's going to say, yeah, there's already a ton of Pete Alonso jerseys sold and in our ballpark. People love you, and we want to keep you here as our cleanup hitter, a guy that can hit 40 home runs. We'll give you a little bit more on top than these other teams to stay.
What do you think's going to end up happening?
I think he's going to have a better second half. I think he's going to be motivated. I think he's a competitor. I think he's going to be motivated by the failure in this home run derby. Even though, you know, these guys pretend that they don't listen to the radio and they don't read social media, they do. There's no escaping it. They have eyes, they have ears, they have phones, they have friends, they have family. And I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder to come back in the second half and mash. And when he does, and let's say the Mets make the postseason and he hits a game-winning home run or has a big moment in the postseason, a go-ahead RBI, whatever it is, then everybody's going to jump right back on the bandwagon. And when the offseason comes, I think there's a good shot that he stays a Met because you have the richest owner in the sport, and he's of more value to him than anybody else.
I just don't understand the hatred of it. Like, this guy is...
It's run its course.
He's hit so many home runs. He's partially the face of the Mets, with Lindor being there as well.
He's the face of the Mets. He was here before Lindor. I've talked about how he's been the representative at the All-Star game. Lindor has never been to the All-Star game as a Met. He's the face of the Mets. But it just seems like Mets fans have discarded him. You know, like, you know that meme where the guy and the girl are walking and holding hands, and then the other girl walks by, and they're looking like, now you just got other girls walking by. Pete Alonso's the old girlfriend. You got to, you know, it's run its course. You need to reignite that flame. And here it comes in the second half, Pete. Remind them who you are.
Yeah, and for me, I don't know. I just don't get it. It's like, this guy, I don't think, has really declined. Yes, maybe he's had a slower first half, but he's still at 19 home runs.
The team had a slow start to the first half. The team sucked
You know what I'm saying? So why are they just singling out him? And just because he's on a contract year? And yeah,
because now you got J.D. Martinez. You know what I'm saying? Now you got Francisco Alvarez, Brett Beatty. You know? Now Brandon Nimmo's hitting for power.
I just don't see the reason for the hate for Mets fans, personally.
Well, you got to tell them. Maybe they'll listen to you. Thanks for the call, Jack. They don't listen to me. They're not going to take my advice. I'm surprised I'm getting these Mets calls. Mets fans online, they be at me, boy. I love it. I love it. Twitter is hilarious, yo. I put out something on Twitter earlier today, yesterday. I'm like, this is like a video game to me. Like, I go on Twitter, it's like a literal game. It's not real life, but I just choose to play as myself. You can choose any character you want to be. A lot of you anonymous trolls are on Twitter. You don't have the courage to be yourself in real life or online. I can be myself on air, online. When I walk the streets of New York, I know who I am. So when I get online, I have no problem responding and talking to people that say terrible things that are just negative and nasty, because I'm me. You're not saying anything to me. Who are you? I don't know you. You got so much to say. I don't know you. You know me. Oh, your show's unlistenable. But you know I have a show. You probably listened. you don't know anything. Okay, I got to know something. There's no way I've done hundreds of shows and not know anything. Be yourself, man. That's the advice I've been giving a lot of people. I've been talking to a lot of young guys, whether it's LinkedIn or people now. I put my email out there for business. People just send messages that are not business related. But, you know, a lot of young guys are asking for advice, and it flatters me. Because, man, I was always looking for advice. I was always looking for help. There was nobody sending a rope. But what I keep telling these young guys is stop hiding online. Because when you're hiding, and I get making a faceless account. I get wanting to even be anonymous because of the employer you have or whatever. But, like, how do you think I got noticed? How do you think Spike Eskin saw me? He clicked on a couple things. I'm easy to find. I already had a following. I was already established online. So, like, if you guys want to make it, it's been, like, literally given to you. I wish I had an iPhone 15 when I was 15. Are you kidding? Like, I wish there was TikTok. where you can just shoot a video, edit it, make it all cool and put it out there. Like, you kids can sit in your rooms all day and do exactly what I'm doing. You could talk about Pete Alonso for an hour, clip it up, put it out there. If it's dope, people will watch it. They'll send it to their friends and find it. Next thing you know, somebody wants you on their podcast. Do your own podcast. Do your own videos. If you're good, people will find you. Nothing is stopping you. There are no gatekeepers anymore. That's the only way I get to WFAN. I applied to WFAN internships and jobs. I applied to so many. I have over 200 applications and cover letters and all that. I literally saved all of them. One day I'm going to do it on air. I'm going to go back to all the companies that I applied for, all the people that I... Man, I just saw Michael Rubin was in here. I saw Michael Rubin was in here. I met Michael Rubin in 2018. After I quit my digital marketing job at Roc Nation, I thought I made a mistake. I wanted to do content. I wanted to be in sports media. I quit and I saw people rising in the podcast, vlog, YouTube space, but it wasn't happening instantly. So I thought I made a mistake and I'm like, oh, I got to just, you know, all right, maybe that job wasn't for me. I got to apply to some other jobs. And I saw Fanatics was looking for a social media manager. So I applied to the job thinking that they needed someone anonymously to put out tweets and Facebook posts and Instagram videos and schedule content about, you know, buying jerseys or whatever for Fanatics. I come to find, no, they don't need that. You get to interview with Michael Rubin. Michael Rubin needs somebody to help with his social media. Now, Michael Rubin has millions of followers. This was 6 years ago. You know what I'm saying? I've been in so many, man, I thought I was going to work at Foot Locker. I thought I was going to get I love the Foot Locker office right down the street from MSG. I had two rounds of interviews there. Broke my heart when I didn't get that job. MLB, I had two rounds of interviews at MLB to work with their player social media, player engagement, right? So I'd be the one sending clips to Aaron Judge and Juan Soto from the All-Star game, like, hey, post this. Didn't get it. I struck out 100 times, you know? You guys have it. You guys have the social media. You have YouTube. You have it at your fingertips, in your phone. You don't even need equipment. Your phone is a microphone. Your phone is a high-quality camera. And you guys have the time. The time is everything, man. Just do it. If you're good, if you're talented, people will find you. And the only way that I get this opportunity to connect with you guys every night at WFAN is because Spike Eskin was here. And when John Boy and Jake came through here and did an episode of Talking Yanks on Moose and Maggie, that was August 6, 2021. I know this stuff exactly because it's part of my life story. If they ever make a movie or write a book about me one day, I'll be able to recite all this stuff. And I'm doing social media digital marketing for John Boy. I was one of the first 10 people hired at the company when we had the Bronx office on Grand Concourse. And I was so proud of those guys. I was so happy for those guys. And I said, man, I went to school for radio and television. I love WFAN. I have this keychain on my keys from when I met Mark Malusis 10 years ago. And they were one and done. They did that one show. But you know what Spike did? Spike reached out, sent me an email. Said, hey, man, I see you do a Yankees podcast. You do a Nets podcast. You went to school for radio. You played football in college. Would you want to audition and fill in night shift at WFAN, something along those lines? I thought it was fake. I researched Spike Eskin. I'm like, oh, let me make sure. Oh, wait. No, I know. Howard Eskin, this is his son. Oh, he just got the job. Yeah, of course I want to audition. Are you serious? I would never have an opportunity any other way. August 25th, I auditioned. The rest is history. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
One, two, three, let's do it! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are on the other half of a five-hour KM to AM. Yes, halfway through my five-hour sports talk show. This is Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking your calls at 888-808-1019 down here downtown at The Fan in New York. Now, we've talked Pete Alonso. We've talked some Knicks. Of course, we're talking Giants with Hard Knocks and everything, but we haven't got to the New York Yankees yet. The Yankees will be back in town for Gerrit Cole Cy Young bobblehead night and Harry Potter night. I'm trying to see if I'm going to go to both of those. I do want the bobblehead. I'll definitely be there Sunday. But I am looking for positive energy. I am looking to turn the page. I am looking to forget about the gauntlet that June was and the disappointment that the last game in Baltimore was. 888-808-1019. I put out a video today from Monday. Shout out to my boy Dalton who edited it up. And I'm like, listen, man, I'm like, positive energy. Sunday's game now seems so long ago. The All-Star game is over. The All-Star break has one more day left in it. You know, we got to have the right vibes and right energy going into the second half because these guys, they actually do hold the pen. These guys, they actually do have it all right in front of them. That's what Aaron Boone says. It sounds cliche. You're probably tired of hearing it. And I hope they're tired of hearing it. Last night when Nestor Cortez sent that tweet out, I said, good. I want him to have a chip on his shoulder. I hope the rest of the team, I hope they have a chip on their shoulder. I hope they saw David Ortiz and the Orioles laughing at them. Anthony Volpe saw Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman laughing at him bobble that ball as Adley Rutschman slid into second base talking about how fast he is. Nestor Cortez writes, everyone talks down about the Yanks, but they want to be us. It's a privilege to wear pinstripes. Every year we are in contention. I'm blessed to be able to compete for a playoff spot and always be contenders at the end. That's good and all, Nestor. That's great and all, Nestor. Now go out there and win. And what have I been saying? Remember who you are. The Yankees have an identity crisis. At least Nestor understands it to write it out. But after all is said and done, more is said than done. Talk is cheap at this point. And I know it's a lofty expectation to just expect the Yankees to win the World Series this year or any other year. But that's what it's all about, man. That's why you play the game. So I think Nestor is certainly chapped. I hope some other guys on the Yankees feel some type of way about being laughed at, being talked about. And I hope that this trade deadline comes in 13 days. And Brian Cashman also feels a type of way where he says, I want everybody that I can get to improve this team. Don't tell me that Clay Holmes is good enough. I'm over that. He's got 6 blown saves in the first half. I can't stand for another 6 in the second half. Don't tell me that he's good enough because if we get to October and some of the same things happen with him walking guys, bat to ball, putting traffic on the base paths and the defense folding behind him, no one wants to say, I told you so. We can do better. 888-808-1019. Don't let it come down to that. Right, I understand you traded him for Hoy Park, and he was a Cashman find, a diamond in the rough that you turned into your closer to move off of Aroldis Chapman. So what? Maybe it's time to move off of him some. Maybe you move him. The Mets weren't afraid to move Edwin Diaz from the closer spot, put him in a softer landing spot, have him enter the game earlier in the game, and then eventually he got his swagger back, his confidence back, and took his closer spot back after coming off the IO. Don't tell me that DJ LeMahieu, John Birdie, Oswaldo Cabrera, that's good enough at third base. It's not. If you can get a leadoff man, go get a leadoff man. If you can get a second baseman, go get a second baseman. If you could trade Gleyber Torres to anybody, do that. Like, that's what I'm looking for. Shake up the room. I said last night, like, I'm not getting my hopes up for this trade deadline, but I would love to be on the Fan the night of the trade deadline saying, well, would you looky here? Look who we got rid of, and look who we brought in. Let's ride. That's who we got. Braden is in Point Pleasant Beach down the shore. What's up, Braden? You're on the Fan in New York. Braden! Hey, yo! All right. Well, sometimes we come back from break. Guys aren't ready. Maybe you'll hear it on the radio. We'll come back to it, and I'll continue on with the Yankee stuff. It's great to see Juan Soto get a knock in the game. It's great to see how much Aaron Judge and Juan Soto seem to enjoy being on the same team together. This could be the only year. This could only be the last half of the year. Compete. Don't take it for granted. The Yankees had plenty of opportunities. the Yankees in this second half still have opportunities. That's why I say they do hold the pen. Aaron Boone is right about everything being right in front of them. Don't take it for granted. And sometimes everything happens for a reason. Sometimes you need that reality check. So they started off super hot. They cooled off. Okay. Now come out in the second half. This strength of schedule, I had that in my notes too. Let's go to that. It's in your favor. So there's this, and I saw Al Dukes put it out there and it prompted me to follow him because I've been clipping their stuff. There's an account on Twitter called Brooks Gate at Brooks _ Gate. And they've just been putting out numbers. I think I cited their numbers on how much revenue teams make and how much they put towards their payroll. I think I also had their graph on how the NHL, the NBA, the Major Leagues of Baseball, and the National Football League, how they make their money. I'll go through those again, but I bring it up to go through this as I'm talking about the Yankees. They just put out an MLB remaining strength of schedule. The Boston Red Sox have the hardest strength of schedule. The Tampa Bay Rays have the hardest strength of schedule. The New York Yankees have the 27th out of 30. The 27th easiest strength of schedule out of 30 teams. It couldn't be set up any better for the Yankees to get right now. 888-808-1019. You're going to get Giancarlo Stanton back. Eventually, you'll get Jason Dominguez back, Clark Schmidt back, Anthony Rizzo back, Scott F. Ross, JT Brubaker, Lou Trevino. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of how many guys are hurt. John Birdie. And you have the trade deadline. At least we had a June swoon and not an August collapse. You have the trade deadline to check the market, see what's out there, and see who you can add. And I know there's a ton of you that are not trying to get rid of Spencer Jones. I know now there seems a bunch of you that are down to get rid of Spencer Jones because there's a rumor out there that Garrett Crochet is available and you got to give up Spencer Jones to do that. And a lot of you see an outfield of Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Jason Dominguez, and you're like, he can go. Send him. Maybe. 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 I see Andy Martino's been cooking up some Yankee stuff. I just saw him tweet out a couple hours ago with the designated for assignment Martin Maldonado. Yeah, Martin Maldonado, former catcher of the hated Houston Astros. The White Sox have designated him for assignment. Obviously, there's been some talk about the Yankees at the deadline needing help at catcher. I don't believe that's something that they will address at the deadline. I think they believe in Jose Trevino, who's also hurt, as I name guys that are coming back. And I think they definitely believe in Austin Wells, who really had a good showing in this last week or so. But Andy Martino writes, Garrett Cole loves throwing to this guy. He also loves throwing to Jose Trevino, who's on the IL. Omar Narvaez, I mean, I'd rather see Martin Maldonado over Omar Narvaez. I specifically remember 2 years ago, no, it was 3 years ago, 2022, Martin Maldonado talking about how the Houston Astros look at regular season games against the Yankees like postseason games. They looked at coming to the Bronx and playing against the Yanks as like postseason energy. They were ready. The Yankees too many times are not. So for the 1,000th time, I always remind y'all, the Yankees are going to get everybody's best shot. They are everybody's quote-unquote Super Bowl. They will always play up on the main stage that is New York City. The Yankees got to know that. They got to know that you're stepping in the ring with somebody that wants to knock you out every night. Have your guard up. Do not get caught sleeping. 888-808-1019. It's all right in front of them. They have the pen. They can write the story. And why not? With this weak American League, with the Orioles having a bunch of concerns, the Orioles needing to answer a ton of questions at the deadline, and looking around at the Guardians and the Central, who nobody fears, and a weakened AL West with the Mariners and the Astros, why can't this be the year that they get to, like Chris in Monmouth County said, the ALCS? I've been to some ALCSs. They got to get to the World Series. You got Aaron Judge, you got Juan Soto, you got Garrett Cole, you got a bunch of other guys that are solid players and you can add at this deadline. Why can't that happen now? Let's go to Aiden in Newark on the Fan. What's up, Aiden? You got it.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Big fan of yours.
Thanks, bro. But, thanks for joining the show.
Well, I just wanted to talk about, like, I've been a Yankees fan my whole life, and I remember exactly where I was when we won in 09, and then I also remember exactly where I was when we lost to the Astros. And, you know, I'm sick and tired of, like, we start off strong and then we implode. But I don't know, something feels really, really different about this year, about the timing that we've had our struggles. When we really look at it, I'm glad it happened when it did rather than in September, August. Because now we're coming back from the break with a chip on our shoulder, like you've been saying. Like, I feel like the guys in the dugout, like, they're really going to use that to their advantage.
Yeah, sometimes you got to get knocked down. Sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth. They were riding high. They got knocked off their horse. Now they're going to get back on the horse, and they're going to keep their head on a swivel. That's what I'm saying. You're 100% correct. The timing is everything. Everything happens for a reason. June was a gauntlet. I was shaking in my boots. I was getting on the Fan. Yo, stack wins in April. Good. Sweep everybody we can sweep. Because when we get to June, we're going to face the Dodgers and the Braves and the Orioles and the Mets. And here we are now. It's July.
And all it really did was show us what we're capable of. Like we've seen the good and we've seen the bad. We've seen, like, we're built for this. And then we got to stop acting like we have Aaron Judge. Like, that, this is a once in a lifetime player, honestly. Like, we have Aaron Judge, we have Juan Soto, we have Gerrit Cole. Like, we have dogs on our team. Like, it's on
the other guys, though. You know, Aiden, it's on Anthony Volpe. Pick it up, son. Second half.
Absolutely.
You're not a rookie anymore. They're not looking at you as a youngin anymore. Pick it up. Verdugo, this is your last half as a Yankee. You're not coming back next year.
Absolutely. And then it's funny because I'm from Jersey.
You're good. You should still be there. I dumped it. I think we might have lost him. So, I don't know. Aiden was saying, he was saying, as Bronny James comes out quickly 2 for 2 with 4 points as the game is underway, I knew this was, I'm like, this. Okay, now they're going to get him right. Everybody's talking about him. They're going to coach him up. How did he score his first 2 points? I got to get this box score up. Did he lay the ball in? I'm guessing. 4 points. I don't think he shot any threes. I think they told him, do not shoot a three. They told Ronnie, lay the ball in. Get to the rack. Attack. Anyway, Aiden was saying in high school, he played against Anthony Volpe, and dude was a dog. And he used the S word, but he said, this guy used to do crazy type of, yeah, we know that. He played for Team USA. We know that. He was a top pick. We know that. That's why I got people fighting me about it. You're saying, I've been saying this whole week, right, especially since I played the Aaron Boone clip where Aaron Boone clarified his 10 years comment, and he said, you know, Keith McPherson always says, in 10 years, and what I meant was, you know, in 10 years will be that. Yeah, so what Boone meant was greatness is a process. 10 years from now, when he's 33, he'll be a perennial leadoff hitter, hitting for power, getting on base, stealing bases. He still has to become. And I saw Joel Sherman. Maybe I can find the clip of it so I don't have to do it verbatim. I'll find the Joel Sherman clip to play the audio. But nobody has sympathy for Anthony Volpe. I do. Not even sympathy. It's just shared blame. I look at the Yankees and how they've handled him. You told this kid coming into training camp last season he could win the job. And when he won the job, you told him, you're our guy. We're not sending you down. Even if you struggle, we're not sending you down. That's a lot. And then you moved him to the leadoff spot. You guys know. And then they did it again this year. So I just think, hey, leave him in the sixth spot. Let his defense be what it is. We've seen that greatness there. And I think it's going to come back around at the plate. Gleyber Torres, this is it for you, buddy. How do you want to be remembered? This is it. I'm not worried about Aaron Judge. I'm not worried about Juan Soto. I'm not worried about Gerrit Cole. I'm worried about Carlos Rodon. I heard Al Cintron call him Rodon. I said I was calling him Carlos Rodon. I got to combine that. Carlos Rodon. Don't put him out there. You have to because the contract. Why can't he find it? Why can't he take this little break, this little respite, and say, yo, I'm going to be a different pitcher. I'm going to have a poker face. I'm not going to show everybody how I feel. I'm not going to wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'm going to mix it up from the start. I'm not going to come out throwing BP fastballs and getting rocked and crying about it. I think Stroman's going to continue to be consistent. Luis Gil has found it again. I expect him to be consistent, and that they're going to find some way to monitor his innings. And we'll see what happens with Nestor. I think Nestor coming out there, he's a competitor, and now he's got to literally stand on business after what he said. The bullpen now has a small circle of trust. Jake Cousins, Michael Tonkin, Luke Weaver. Clay Holmes is not in that group. I'm sorry. Not for me. Clay Holmes is not in that group. Why can't we throw one of those guys in the ninth inning? Would it hurt to just try to throw Michael Tonkin, Luke Weaver, Jake Cousins? Even Tommy Canley is on the cusp. Even Tim Hill is on the cusp of being in the circle of trust.
Tim Hill throws like Andrew Miller.
He's got that southpaw, yeah, low sidewinder.
Yeah, with the not a big leg kick, kind of slides his leg more than kicks it.
Fine by me. I mean, he's been better. His first outing was terrible. Whatever. They're going to add at the deadline. What I'm saying is the Yankees have the talent, and there's nobody in the American League that we should fear. And they have an easy strength of schedule, and they got punched in the mouth in June, and now they got to check their chin. Put your guard up.
Clark Schmidt is back in New York.
Clark Schmidt is back?
I saw him today.
Where?
On the street over here.
You saw Clark Schmidt walking on the street?
I saw Clark Schmidt walking on. I saw him get out of like an Uber or something with a small carry-on type suitcase and a backpack.
He was going to Trader Joe's?
No, he was on Greenwich. So because now we're walking on Greenwich, he was on the corner of Greenwich and Christopher.
He's going to Hotel Hugo or something? He's going to
something, I don't know. But I saw him. I'm wearing this Yankee shirt.
Did you say what's up?
We kind of like, he made eye contact for a minute. I kind of like just
that's got to be weird.
Gave him that nod.
Because you see a Yankee fan, and it's like, yeah, I know who you are, bro.
But I wasn't going to walk over. Like, he was on the other side of the street. So I wasn't going to walk over to him.
You just got to run at him with your phone out. Sprint at him with your phone out.
I just nodded at him. He kind of nodded back, looked away, and kept it moving.
It's funny. 888-808-1019. Let's take another call before we get to the break. John, out in Cedar Knolls, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, I've been listening to you since you first came on the Fan. I love your show. I'm not just saying that to pump you up, but I really like your take on everything, and you're a real Yankee fan. You know, some of these hosts, they say they're Yankee fans. I don't think they are. I think you're a real Yankee fan.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that up. Whether I got on WFAN or not, I'd be at that stadium. So, yeah, thank you, John.
That's right. Yeah, no problem. And, you know, something you were saying that, you know, we don't really fear anybody in the American League. I was listening to BT the other day. He was saying the exact same thing. He was going through, like, the Mets' chance to get to the World Series and the Yankees' chance. And the Mets, they were saying that, oh, look at all these big powerhouses in the National League that they have to still get through, where the Yankees, there's really nobody. I mean, if we could just play to our ability, we should be in the World Series without even thinking about it, right?
I mean, on paper, yeah. We still have the best odds to come out of the American League if you check all the sports books, because nobody actually thinks the Guardians or the Mariners or the Astros or the Orioles really are going to beat the Yankees in a 7-game series.
Exactly, exactly. I feel the exact same way, but we got to get our closer in check. I mean, I've been saying for weeks now that Holmes has to sit down. They got to work on something with him because he's not consistent. He'll be really good one close, and the next one, he looks like he does not know how to pitch anymore. You know, is Robertson, I heard somebody say Robertson was going to be available. Is that true?
Yeah, if the Rangers want to move him, why not?
I would get him in a heartbeat.
Run it back, why not? Yeah. There's so many arms available, too, and I trust Brian Cashman, I trust to find another Clay Holmes, to find another Rand. Like, that's what he does, right? The bullpen has always got these random journeymen or guys that were traded for. If there's one thing that I expect him to do at this trade deadline, it's to find guys that can relieve, and I want him to find a guy that can eventually slide into being the closer in October, because Clay Holmes, I can't take that roller coaster ride every ninth inning. I can't.
Nope. No, I'm the same way. It drives me up the wall. I mean, I watch it with my girlfriend. She's like, you lose your mind every time Klay Holmes comes in. I'm like, no,
Cardiac
I know.
Clay. Cardiac Klay, do you have shortness of breath and trouble breathing when Klay Holmes gets on the mound? I do.
Hey, what's the reason we got rid of Wandy Peralta?
I think that was an evaluation. They looked at his age. They looked at him starting to decline. And the contract that he was seeking, from what I heard, they didn't want to pay him that, and San Diego did. But, yeah, Wandy had stones. We watched Wandy going there in October like it was April and May.
Yeah, I would put him as a closer over anybody if we still had him. But we don't got him, so what are we going to do?
I just said, I don't care. Throw Michael Tonkin. He was a late innings guy, a 10th inning guy. Throw Luke Weaver. Like, I can stomach Jake Cousins in the ninth. With Klay, he doesn't know where the ball is going. And when he does lock in to throw a strike, it's getting hit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like your idea of chip on your shoulder attitude. I hope you're right. I mean, I didn't hear about that tweet by Cortez. I thought that's great. I think that's amazing. They should have that attitude, and hopefully that carries them all the way to the World Series. I hope that they're there. I can't wait.
Thanks for the call, John. Yeah, as a Yankee fan, I know some of y'all feel this too. Like last year when we were eliminated, I felt like Fox went out of their way to troll us. They're playing that stupid 2004 doc. I hate that. It makes me sick even thinking about it. Kevin Millar. It brings me back to being in high school when that happened, and I can't even put it into words. I felt like with David Ortiz, oh, the Yankees lose. I felt like they were leaning into it. They were bringing up all the defeats from the Astros. We were a laughing stock. We were literally a punching bag. We were eliminated last year, and it's like they'll play a game on Fox, and then they'll play the Red Sox 2004 story. These guys see that stuff. These guys are watching the All-Star game on Fox where Jeter is there trying to hold it down, but even Jeter's like, ah, yeah, I'll pick the Orioles to go to the World Series, not the Yankees. And Jeter, not for nothing, is probably loving it because Jeter's legacy lives on. He's been retired for 10 years, but like, there's still people that speak of his name and Mariano. These guys got to be pissed off. They got to be insulted. They got to go about their business with a chip on their shoulder like, nah, there's nothing funny. We're the New York Yankees. We're tired of you laughing at us. We're tired of being the butt of your jokes. There's going to be nothing funny about us getting these 27 outs and putting 5, 6, 7, 10 runs on your head. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got 2 more hours. It's about to be 10 o'clock. Let's take this break, and we'll be right back.